Good morning, everybody. So my name is Geertrui Luwagie. I'm currently working at the Joint Research Center of the European Commission. But previously, I was affiliated to University College Dublin, where I worked on a project called AE Footprint that was funded with research money from the European Commission. We had like 7 member states in the consortium, and we developed a tool to quantify environmental quality of farms that received EU money. So when we want to quantify environmental quality, we could use a standardized scoring scale to look at this, where 0 could mean bad environmental quality and 10 would mean good environmental quality. And along with this, we can then easily imagine that the lower end of the spectrum would refer to costs to the society, and the upper end of the spectrum would refer to benefits. And so within this framework, we can define levels of environmental quality, where a standard level would mean the absolute minimum that would have to be achieved. A reference level would be called what the conscientious farmer would provide without having any payment. And then the target level would be improved environmental quality reached with funding. And this can be as a result of bad, good, and best practice, respectively. And so along with this, policies can also be designed to target different levels of environmental quality. So at the lower end of the spectrum, we would then get the negative incentives, where farmers would have to provide a reference level of environmental quality at their own expense. And the upper end of the spectrum would then be positive incentives, like, for example, agri-environment schemes. We also use this scoring scale when developing the Agri-Environmental Footprint Index, abbreviated the AFI, which basically estimates environmental quality at the farm scale by aggregating a number of weighted scores for selected indicators. The indicator values are converted onto a standardized scoring scale of 0 to 10, and the weights reflect the relative importance of each indicator. Okay. So the AFI is hierarchically structured. At the upper level, we look at what are the actual concerns within the agri-environment. So what is actually at stake? And there we can identify natural resources like, for example, soil, water, or air. We can identify species, habitat, and genetic diversity. And we can also look at landscape aspects like, for example, cultural heritage or aesthetic aspects. And then at the lower level, we look at how these issues can actually be addressed at the farm. And here we can identify different management foci or management strategies, like, for example, crop and animal husbandry, CAH, physical farm infrastructure, PFI, and natural and cultural heritage, NCH. And I will illustrate some of I will illustrate these management concepts a little bit more. So crop and animal husbandry can refer, for example, to soil structure, which has an impact on soil quality. It can also refer to organic nutrient application, which can have an impact on water quality. In terms of biodiversity, it can refer to species diversity of farmland, like, for example, through extensive management of grasslands or adopting field margins at the edge of the fields. It can also refer to genetic diversity, or it can also refer to presence of cultural heritage within a field. Physical farm infrastructure, on the other hand, refers to provision and management of physical elements on the farm. Like, for example, cattle housing can have has an effect on volatilization and thus on air quality. Likewise, organic nutrient storage and also fodder storage can have an impact on water quality. Then how field boundaries are established and maintained has an impact on habitat and species quality. And then also, again, aspects of aesthetics and cultural heritage have an impact on the landscape quality. And then finally, the natural and cultural heritage is actually what is present on the farm, but it's not actually part of the farm where the primary output is food or feed or fiber or fuel. So it can refer to riparian margins along rivers or also about the intrinsic value of habitats on the farm. Or it can also refer to habitats that are being abandoned and where encroachment is taking place. The structure that I presented earlier can be alternatively represented as a nested structure, so as a matrix where management strategies or foci nest within agri-environmental issues, and so we get a matrix that is an easy tool to classify criteria that are relevant for the evaluation we want to do and within a specific farming context. And that also helps us to classify the indicators that are relevant to that evaluation. But when talking about assessment criteria and indicators, these really depend on the context that one is working in. And therefore, I fill this in with a little more detail of the case studies that we run in Ireland, where we assessed the wider environmental impact of relatively extensive dry stock farming in Sligo, as opposed to relatively intensive dairy farming in Cork. These two farming contexts are at opposite ends of a geoclimatic gradient. And the common evaluation background was the Rural Environmental Protection Scheme, or called the REPS scheme. Dealing with context specificity also calls for stakeholder consultation. So within our case studies, we had a core group of stakeholders who were involved in both case studies and who gave us kind of a helicopter view on both case studies. And we also had two local groups who helped us to ground the case studies in daily farming practice. These stakeholders, this interaction with the stakeholders, is of utmost importance in a number of tasks within the AFI process. First of all, they help to identify the relevant criteria. They also help to select appropriate indicators. They also help to convert indicator values that have different units onto a standardized scoring scale. And finally, they also help to determine the relative importance of issues of management foci, but also of indicators within the respective dimensions. Here you see an overview of the Irish assessment criteria matrix. So all the assessment criteria are listed here. The ones that are highlighted in yellow are the ones that considered aspects that went over and above what was considered in the REPS scheme. And here you see an overview of the indicators. So you see that the number of indicators has been reduced compared to the assessment criteria matrix. This has to do with the fact that a lot of assessment criteria somehow interact with one another, and therefore we combined multiple indicators to result in one simple indicator score in order to take these interactions into account. And also this allowed us to increase the accuracy. Within this list, you see some indicators that are highlighted in gray. These were indicators that in the end we could not get available or we could not collect data for. And I'll give some more details on two of the indicators that are listed here. the example of the organic nutrient storage indicator looked at aspects of, for example, the type of organic nutrient storage. Is it a slurry tank or is it a lagoon? Also at the condition of the storage. So is there clean water control or not? Is the farmyard manure covered or not? Then also at the distance to watercourses, for example. And all these aspects were considered in the slurry storage hazard score. So you see also that there were three different materials considered. I only illustrate the slurry component here. So you see that all the aspects that I just mentioned are somehow covered in this if-else function. An important aspect to mention here is that we used the requirements dictated by regulations were integrated into this function. For example, in the case of Sligo, which is the example that you have at hand here, the storage capacity has to be minimum 18 weeks. So anything that was less than 80 weeks was considered to result in very bad quality and thus got a zero. On the other hand, when considering the situation in Cork, as I said, the two farming contexts are at opposite ends of a geoclimatic gradient, and the grass growth season starts earlier in Cork. So there, farmers have enough with 16 weeks of storage. So if they have an actual storage of 18 weeks, this results in a higher score for a farm in Cork. Another example of an indicator function is the field boundary function, a very important element in the Irish grassland landscape. There, again, we consulted with stakeholders, and experts told us that shape, morphology, and boat size are very important aspects here, in the sense that the wider and the denser a hedgerow, the higher the biodiversity value of this hedgerow. And also, if eventually this hedgerow matures into a tree line, that has even a higher biodiversity value and thus a higher benefit to society, say. So a tree line would then get a score of 10, whereas a traditional field boundary that is just a stone wall without any attached hedgerow, like on the very left of the picture here, it might be pleasing aesthetically, but in biodiversity terms, it's not that much of a benefit. So finally, we also asked stakeholders individually to weight the relative importance of the issue, of the issues, and also of the management foci, and this resulted in combined dimension weights. I just want to point here to the difference for the two farming contexts. So we see that in Cork, relatively more. So just telling also that the respective blocks, the respective weights of one case study all add up to one. So this picture shows, when comparing both case studies, that in Sligo, comparatively more focus or more attention is being paid to biodiversity, as opposed to Cork, where natural resources, especially focus on water quality, is a very important aspect in this relatively intensive farming type. To come to a conclusion, so a relatively small sample of farms showed that in both farming contexts, the farms that were under the scheme performed better than farms that were not under the scheme, with a confidence level of 5% in the case of Sligo and 1% in the case of Cork. We have to be cautious here because this is a very small sample of farms. The main aim within the project was to illustrate the feasibility of the method rather than having a representative sample. But nevertheless, when we did a sensitivity analysis using different weights, the ranking of REPS farms above non-REPS farms was still preserved. And here with, and the most, the application that would make most sense in terms of following farms that sign up to a scheme would be to have to monitor them at the time or just before they enter into the scheme, and then say midterm and at the end of the contract. And herewith, I would like to thank you for your attention.
We have time for questions. Any question?
Can you comment a little bit about the makeup of the panel or the group that did the evaluations?
You mean the stakeholder panel? As we were dealing... Sorry, that was something I forgot to mention. The scheme we were dealing with was a multi-objective scheme and mostly a single package scheme. But the important thing here is that a lot of environmental objectives were being targeted in the one scheme. So first of all, we needed a panel that had a broad expertise. So we had talking about the core group that was involved in both applications. There we had policymakers. We had people, in Ireland we have an organization that is mainly specialized in extension, but they also have a research arm, so there we had people from the research arm, say. In the local groups, on the other hand, we had, so they helped to ground the case studies really in daily farming practice. There we had extension advisors. We had also an extension advisor accompanying us to visit the farms, by the way, to collect the data. We had farmers, very important. And we had some people who really, regional specialists, say. So we had a broad array of people involved in our case studies, also covering the spectrum from natural resources to landscape as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Just to follow up, I think the key point is the relationships in your index change from location to location. And I was just curious if that was largely the public opinion or the issues in that area that the stakeholders were bringing, or whether you had really predicted it based on the science behind some of the things.
Say again, whether...
Do you think that difference between the locations is largely due to the interpretations of the stakeholders and their evaluations? And I don't argue that, they're going to be different. Or would have you argued that it could have been due to the actual science-based technology that's available for those types of decisions?
It's probably going to be a bit of both, but I must admit that stakeholders and experts had quite a say in the results, because they were also involved in converting indicator values units, so collected data and converting that onto standardized scores. I think. But on the other hand, you need. I mean, in a lot of those cases, you cannot. It's not possible to measure the environmental quality as such. Definitely not if you want to do it within a limited time frame. So then you have to rely on proxy indicators and often stakeholders or experts in their particular area are the ones who are going to give you an idea what makes sense there.
Let's give the speaker a big applause. We're going to save the question.